Time for another edition of Madden Monday here at Trib Live. Tim Benz with you, along with Mark Madden from 105.9 The X. Listen to Mark Monday through Friday on The X. Check us out on Mondays, Madden Benz Unfiltered, 9:30. And we might have to struggle a little bit, Mark, to come up with content. Rare are the times where I think to myself, boy, it would be nice if Pittsburgh had an NBA team. This weekend, with nothing else going on, I did think that.
If they had an NBA team, maybe they could have traded for Kyrie Irving.
Why not? Every team in the NBA has to have Kyrie Irving at least once to know what it's like.
I understand Dallas taking a chance to get him because they got a pretty good team. Maybe you could put them over the top. How about they gave up a first and second on a draft pick? Did I read this right? In 2029?
Yes, 2029.
That's way crazy to, you know, to project that far in advance. If Armageddon comes between now and then, that will turn out to be a very shrewd trade by Dallas.
Well, according to Kyrie Irving, some of the stuff he says, he might know when Armageddon's coming.
Well, I don't know, Tim. I think it spreads slower over a flat Earth. But I still can't believe Kevin Durant screwed up his whole career by picking Kyrie Irving over Steph Curry, choosing to play with Irving in Brooklyn and not staying in San Francisco with Curry. Just unbelievably bad judgment. I haven't heard any Durant comments on this. And, you know, Brooklyn got a decent return, but, you know, nothing to help them win now to the same degree that Irving would have. It's just not smart to be in the Kyrie Irving business. I think he is the biggest nonstop a-hole in the recent history of sports. Nobody tops him that I can remember.
Speaking of Armageddon, Mark, what should we expect from the second half of the season for the Penguins now that the All-Star break is mercifully over?
Well, Ron Hextall spoke earlier today as we taped this, and, you know, people asked the right questions. I don't think he gave very many answers. The one thing he did say of note is that he will not trade a first-round draft pick, which is good. I don't think you can. I just don't think you can with where this team is at.
Well, wait, Mark, just to clarify, did he say he wouldn't trade a first-round draft pick or he wouldn't trade a first-round draft pick to move out salary?
I took it to mean he wouldn't trade a first-round draft pick, period.
Okay.
Which is, you know, he shouldn't trade a first-round draft pick under any circumstance because whatever return he got wouldn't be good enough. It just wouldn't be. I mean, they're not going to win a playoff series, let alone four. They might not even make the playoffs. And the question I asked him, which he said he could not foresee this happening, but I can foresee this happening, what if they're like 6 to 8 points out a week before the deadline? Then, to me, it becomes sellers. You trade Zucker, you trade Dumoulin, maybe even trade Jari. I know that wouldn't be popular in the dressing room, but we're long since past the point where what the dressing room thinks should matter that much.
Is it those three guys specifically, Mark, that would be unpopular, or just the very notion of doing it because you're sort of waving the white flag at that point?
I think not just Letang, Crosby, and Malkin, but the very notion you're waving the white flag after 16 straight playoff seasons. And to be clear, I don't think they will do that. I don't think they could be 15 points out. They could not win between now and then, and they would not be sellers because one thing I get from talking to some of the players and from listening to Hextall today, they still think they're in good shape. They think they're a much better team than I think they are.
One thing they should realize is that they locked up this core for years to come, and they're going to need to deal something from the middle part of the deck to clear salary and get some young talent in here to grow up and get better while this team is still together at the core.
Well, yeah, but that's easier said than done. And the grievous mistakes Hextall made, obviously signing Carter for too much too long, signing Kapanen for too much too long, and even the Jan Rutta deal, which I think was a 3-year deal. He's getting $2.75 million per year. I'd much rather have that cap flexibility than an okay bottom pair defenseman. I think you could have got by with Ruedel or Friedman in that spot and done better with the cap flex.
Mark Madden with us. Maybe you could answer this, Mark, because I've thought it, I've wondered it, I've asked it aloud, and I can't seem to find a specific answer. But, you know, Mike Sullivan has used the word volatility a lot to describe his team. Ron Hextall on Sunday during his press conference again spoke to the inconsistency of the team. Sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're really bad. Why? That shouldn't be a characteristic of a team that's so veteran-laden.
Well, for sure. I mean, I'm not putting all the blame on the general manager and the bad contracts. I'm not totally discounting blaming the coach because they so often come out unprepared to play and give up first-minute goals, last-minute goals, goals right after they score. But I think a lot of blame has to be kept inside that dressing room, even more so as we head down the stretch. They can either solve it or they can't. I think it's up to the players more than anything because of stuff like we're talking about, you know, not conceding right after you score, not conceding in the first and last minutes of periods, making incredibly dumb mistakes, dumb penalties, dumb everything. It's just a dumb team too many nights.
I think a lot of it, Mark, is if we're talking about looking inside the locker room, a general sense of it's always worked out to get in the playoffs. And
no question. I just said that, Tim. I mean, I don't see the urgency there.
Yeah.
In any place in the organization, let alone in the dressing room, that we should see, especially after that loss to San Jose. I mean, I know they've had a week off and they probably didn't think about it all that much during the break, but I didn't sense that today when I was in the dressing room after practice.
I got the tone listening to some of the comments after the San Jose loss that they were more upset at themselves than they had been after similar such bad outings, but a week away can dull that, and then you come back with, hey, everything will be fine again, and that might be the worst possible thing. I kind of wish they had played three or four games closely there after that San Jose game to see if it woke them up.
Well, now you're playing Colorado, and they're struggling like the Penguins are. They're in the last playoff spot in the West, but they're still the defending Stanley Cup champs. They still have Nathan MacKinnon. They have Evan Rodriguez on Nathan MacKinnon's line, and people are bellyaching they should have kept Rodriguez. I don't see not keeping Rodriguez as this cataclysmic mistake. I just think he's playing with Nathan MacKinnon. You would have played it with Sidney Crosby here. Maybe he would have produced like he is in Colorado. Then again, maybe Sidney Crosby wouldn't have wanted that. Maybe Nathan MacKinnon doesn't. But, you know, they had – what's the one winger, Tim? The one guy hasn't played yet this year. Not Ranton and Landeskog hasn't played yet this year. So any port in the storm, and in this case, I suppose, the port is Evan Rodriguez.
Mark Madden with us. Listen to him Monday through Friday on 105.9 The X. I watched none of the All-Star festivities, Mark. How about you?
Well, I saw enough clips to know I was embarrassed. I mean, would the NBA put Michael Jordan in a dunk tank?
Yeah. Would the NHL have put Mario in a dunk tank?
Well, Mario would have said no.
Maybe Sid should have?
He's not wired that way, and I respect him for it, and I just think he should have said no, yeah. But, I mean, again, I'm not berating him for it. I did kind of tease him about it today, actually. But you know, it's just, you know, that's how he is. I mean, that's why he's one of the greatest guys and the spokesman for the game and everything good you can say about him. Michael Jordan would have only said no. He would have told everyone to F off.
Well, from Sid's standpoint, it was nothing but positive PR because once he got in the dunk tank and the video got out there, everybody said, my God, did you see the size of his quads and his ass? Does that guy squat or what?
He does squat, as a matter of fact. And I think he's naturally gifted that way, if that's the language you want to use. I'm not sure I want to use that language, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's no real harm done. And certainly not to Sid, but it just shows how they don't know how to be funny, how to be cool, how to market stars. I mean, the whole thing was farcical. What did you take out of the skills competition? Who got over the most? Well, it was that Sarah Nurse who scored on Shesterkin, which was a total work. I mean, Shesterkin let her score. He was in on it. And then Ovi's kid scored at Shesterkin too. Now, Tim, I don't think Ovi's going to sell tickets anytime soon. Ovi's kid, maybe in, you know, however many years, 10 or so, if he plays in the league. But, you know, the stars of the skills competitions were guys and a girl, one kid and one girl who just don't help moving forward immediately. And women's hockey never draws except for Canada versus U.S., so there you go.
What about the Ovi-Sid love affair undertones that were associated with this weekend? Did that go too far? Does that dull the rivalry at all for you?
I think there's a very healthy respect between the two. I don't think it was the late-blooming friendship it was made out to be. I think that was made for the camera.
Ovi did a real hard sell on it, which is why I was asking.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't care. And I that rivalry will always be there when they actually play each other. But like, I they might as well have grabbed guitars and sang Kumbaya. not just for Ovi and Sid, but just for the whole thing was stupid. From beginning to end, not one thing about the NHL All-Star thingy, because it's not a game, I call it the All-Star thingy, resonated as anything that helped.
I felt the same way about the Pro Bowl thingy. How about you?
Didn't watch it at all. That I will say, not even 1 second.
Yeah, I didn't touch it either. The only thing I saw that comes back to mind is it Trey Hendrickson? Yeah, Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals catching like 5 punted balls at once. That was moderately impressive, and that's as much as I'll give it, and it was 10 seconds on Twitter.
You know who the MVP should have been? It should have been Josh Jacobs from the Las Vegas Raiders, who said this crop is stupid. As soon as he said that, he should have been MVP, except he didn't say crap, obviously.
Mark, anything that you took away from some of Art Rooney's comments over the course of the week that maybe we haven't discussed yet? Because he did multiple media outlets, multiple different ways. Anything stand out to you that we haven't discussed already?
No, the only thing that stood out to me about Steeler talk this week was that buffoon, who's like a professional Steeler fan on Barstool, had dinner with Kenny Pickett and said that he knows Kenny Pickett will be a championship quarterback because of how he conducted himself at dinner. Well, of course you're going to say that. He bought you dinner. But one thing I've been saying a lot on my show, and if I repeat, forgive me, but Kenny Pickett, if he plays his cards right, he's coming into an era where he'll never have to answer a tough question. Look at the interviews he's done, Tim. He did an informal one with this buffoon from Barstool. He did one with Pat McAfee, which is, you know, all softballs. He did one with Steelers.com, which it's Steelers.com, and he's going to do Ben's podcast. Okay, will any of those people ask him a tough question?
No, that's because the lines between journalism and PR are so blurred, I can't tell the difference anymore.
Right, but if you're Kenny Pickett, why would you feel you would have to do any other interviews besides those? Those are fun and comfortable. It's like all buddy-buddy, yay football.
I think a large reason why you're not seeing as many people, like, for instance, why Pickett hasn't done what Ben did, you know, and do a weekly radio show, why Hayward wasn't doing a weekly radio show with DVE this year. I think that's happening because they have so many other outlets that they can just put out as their own propaganda. Why would you use a third-party media outlet?
No question, and that's what it's come to. And I can't say I blame them. I just don't like the direction the whole thing is taken. And it's going to get a lot worse. And I mean, I don't feel I need those interviews. I never have. But it's just how it is now. Kenny Pickett, and here's what I mean by a tough question, Tim. I don't want to say to Kenny Pickett, hey, mostly you sucked. What's the problem? Okay. I want to say to Kenny Pickett, listen, you are said to have made great progress this season. And if you watch the videotape, I can see why that's said. But how do you reconcile that with your statistics, which were near the bottom of every passing category in the league? Why do the numbers not reflect the progress that you are said to have made? It's a fair question, right?
Yeah, I'd also ask him another fair question. Was Freiermuth telling the truth? Did they not trust you to have hots?
Yeah, but he'll never have to answer those questions, ever, if he doesn't want to.
They should have had hots. If allegedly the biggest reason why he was so attractive to them at 20 was how cable-ready he was to be in the NFL. You should have an offense that has hot routes in it for him to be able to diagnose.
I'll be honest, I'm not concerned at all. I'm more concerned about the way the interview business is heading, but I can't say he's doing the wrong thing by just doing the easy interviews. I mean, why would you do the hard ones?
Mark, we won't talk again until after the Super Bowl is over, at least on this format. Where are you right now in terms of how you think that game's going to go?
You know what? I literally change my mind every time I talk about it. The last time I talked about it with somebody, I said I was picking Philadelphia because I think their pass rush might beat Patrick Mahomes to death. My God, Tim, they had 70 sacks.
Right.
That's just, I believe, too shy of the all-time league record for a single season that was set by the Mongo McMichael Bears back in, I don't think it was their championship season they got that many. It might have been the year before.
I think actually the 84 team had more, yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, because 85 they won it. The 84 team, yeah, they had 72 sacks. But I just feel like they might beat Mahomes to death. Then again, I feel like Mahomes, like, make a ton of plays. So, I don't know. If you made me pick right now, I'd say I want to stick with the Eagles in their pass rush over Mahomes and everything he can create.
And I agree with you, by the way. I'm going with the Eagles. I think the pass rush will be the determining factor. There are some prop bets I like, by the way. We could get into these more on your podcast. But I do like the prop bet of going over 2.5 sacks for the Eagles that's out there. I also like Kenneth Gainwell, who's been kind of a late rising star for the Eagles, to go above 18.5 rushing yards, which seems absurdly low.
Who's the guy? Frank Schwab from Yahoo said exactly the same bet. That's his big bet.
Oh, yeah. I'd play that before it gets too high, because that makes a lot of sense to me. Mark, one thing I wrote about this week for the Trib was, how many Super Bowls do you think the Steelers would have if Brady had never been a thing with New England?
Exactly the same amount.
See, I think they would have won in 16.
Really? But they got routed by Brady. Then again, you're talking about no Brady. Like, the only reason I say the same amount is because we have this mythology that if it wasn't for the Brady dynasty, there would have been more of a Steeler dynasty. But Brady only knocked them out of the playoffs twice.
Three times. Bledsoe, right. No one you're talking about.
Yeah, split it with Bledsoe. You want to say 2.5, I'll go with that. But it's not like they obstructed the Steelers horribly.
The way I rationalize 16 versus the other 2 years that they got knocked out is because I feel that in 01, you know, even if it's Brady, Bledsoe, doesn't matter, I still think they lose to that greatest show on turf Rams team. In 04, it wasn't just about Ben playing badly in the AFC Championship game against the Pats. He was lousy against the Jets, too. I think he needed to go through the playoffs once. So whether if it was San Diego or the Colts, who were both 12-win teams that year, I think one of those two teams comes to Heinz Field and beats him, or he loses to Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. 16, you know, like one thing we always talk about, Mark, I know you and I have had this conversation before about Lev Bell in that game. If there's no Brady, then the Steelers probably beat the Patriots in the regular season that year. They're the number one seed. They get a bye. Kansas City has to come to Pittsburgh after just one game where Bell gets 30-something touches. And that whole hamstring thing, maybe it's not a factor. So I think they get to the Super Bowl and beat Atlanta team.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I can't believe you remember all that with such detail.
Well, I just wrote it, so it's kind of top of mind.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. I just hate to act like Brady blocked everything, when he blocked very little, as a matter of fact. But yeah, okay, I'll go with maybe one more. But maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
Because don't forget, in that New England loss in 2016, in that AFC Championship game, Antonio Brown went loopy because he didn't catch the first touchdown, had to be talked off a cliff, off the ledge. And then Bell was hurt, was told he was cleared to play, and refused to go back in because he was protecting his free agency. So my point is, I'm not sure that team was exactly constructed to win.
Mark, I found myself watching Brockmire reruns a bunch. I might watch the whole thing again for a second time.
Yeah, I didn't like the last season that much, and that'll keep me from watching it a second time. I love the early episodes. I am on the very last episode of The Wire as we speak.
I'm not sure I'm going to get through season two, let alone a couple more seasons after that.
Well, I will say this. I don't know exactly what's going to happen at the end, but I think I'm headed for a good payoff.
Hey, by the way, I hear you were not only at the Ron Hextall media availability, but you're also watching John Mooney, huh?
Yeah, little Johnny Mooney. His dad played high school hockey for Sarah when I covered high school sports. He set a national high school single season goal scoring record. I think he had 108 goals. And he was such a good player. Like, he didn't beat up on, like, the terrible teams with, like, you know, 10 goals.
Uh-huh.
I think he scored, like, 4 goals against every team every game. And then he went on to play at Colorado College, left there, played in the East Coast League, got hurt pretty bad, got his face injured. You know, he's okay now, but his kid. John Mooney Sr. is one of the best players ever from Pittsburgh. It just, in a time when Pittsburgh kids didn't play D1, you know what I mean? He went to Colorado College. He was very highly regarded. If he came along today, I don't know, with, you know, he probably would have played juniors. I mean, there's just such a different path today. But little Mooney, he's small, as his nickname indicates, but boy, he's unbelievable. His vision with the puck and his acceleration on skates, making moves at high speed, I've seen very few players in Pittsburgh ever that compare with him. Now, his cousin is Logan Cooley, who got drafted 3rd overall by Arizona, is now on scholarship to Minnesota. If you ask me who the bigger talent was, it might be Johnny Mooney. And that's no knock on Logan Cooley, but I think in terms of just talent, they're very comparable.
And how is Mark Madden's return to North Hills?
Well, my mother taught there.
Oh, you were Shaler. You were Shaler. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it was great, though. Their basketball team is not as good as last year, but they have this kid, Royce Parham, who's a 6'8 junior. He's really, really good. They beat West Allegheny handily. They're going to be a playoff team in 5A. The student section there, Tim, was chanting my name, so that was actually very nice. I got a kick out of that, considering that was my mother's building. So very nice kind of trip back in time.
Mark Madden, you can chant his name on Facebook Live with me Monday at 9:30 for Madden Ben's Unfiltered. And during his show, 3 till 6, Monday through Friday on 105.9, the Excellence of the Hockey Night Show in advance of the return of the Pens against the Colorado Avalanche on Tuesday.